That's a great question. I think it's definitely grown over time, my confidence. If you would have asked me, five years ago when I first started, where my confidence level is at to where it's at today is, night and day. And it's taken a lot of time. I think one of the biggest things that when I feel like I'm, wavering or just, not feeling my best is always taking three deep breaths.
Hello, my name is Emily Jansen, and this is the Leadership is Female podcast. We interview women in the sports and entertainment businesses to teach you the tips and the mindset that will get you to the top faster. Marian Wright Edelman said, "You can't be what you can't see." Let's bring visibility to women who are crushing it in their roles. Join us week after week, season after season, as we reach back to extend a hand to pull you forward. We will lead you forward because leadership is female. Welcome to the Leadership is Female podcast. Shannon Kelly, my friend and somewhat colleague for like 4 years. We've known each other here in Reno, Nevada. Very excited to turn the tables on you and interview you on the podcast. So tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Well, first, Emily, thank you so much for having me on. As you said, we've known each other for quite a while now, so I'm so excited to be here. And I've worked at Nevada Sportsnet and Channel 4 in Reno since 2016. I started as an intern at the station that summer of 2016 and then landed my foot in the door as an associate producer. So I was producing the morning show. So I was waking up at 2, 3, 4 a.m. to produce the morning show for almost 2 years. I did that and then began doing sports in August of 2018. And then it's just kind of led me to where I'm at now. I feel like I've grown a lot. I've helped launch Nevada Sportsnet. We were still News 4 at the time. We launched NSN a couple months after. And then I've just grown here in Reno. We've done a lot of different stuff than a traditional TV station with sports. So it's been quite awesome. And here we are now.
Yeah, you're usually the one holding the microphone and have interviewed me a number of times. I can't even count how many times. In my former role with the Reno Aces, and then even in my newer endeavors, as we talked about TEDx and the book coming out and all sorts of things. So really appreciate you continuing to support me. But today is about you. And I learned something that I didn't know before when I was preparing for this interview is that you got your master's in higher education administration and you're a sports reporter. So tell us a little bit about that transition in your career path and how you made the decision to pursue a career in sports media versus higher education administration.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I was graduating from the university in 2017 that spring, and I had taken a class that spring because I wasn't doing a full load at that time in the higher education department. Kerry Groth was running the program at the time at the University of Nevada. And she said, "Hey, why don't you just come take this class? Just try it out. We're, starting this program in the education department." So I figured, you know what? Yeah, let me do that because I've always been interested in sports, playing softball at the university. And, for me, if things wouldn't have worked out at the station, in sports, then I kind of felt like I needed to have a backup plan in a sense of what am I going to do if I didn't get hired on at that time, because I knew, that there was a position that was going to be coming up soon and I was, in the middle of my degree. But if things didn't work out, then hey, maybe I would have just pursued that path, I guess, at that time. But it was still something I knew I wanted to pursue. And it's something that I am still passionate about that, hey, maybe one day after I'm done, with broadcasting, then maybe that's something I can go pursue working in a college athletic department, doing something behind the scenes in that role. Cause that's something I have always been so passionate about, being a former college athlete. But It was interesting. I really loved the classes, and it was really athletics focused at the time. So for me, it was interesting because I knew people who were in the program before it was more athletics based. So that was really what had drew me in as well. But it was a lot of fun just to take those classes and to hear that perspective, you know, from being a former athlete and seeing what administrators go through and all the different stuff that you don't necessarily see when you're a college athlete.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very, interesting to explore the front office in general. I mean, when I was in high school and starting out in college, I thought I'd work in sports by being a physical therapist because I had no vision into the front office and what it would take to put on essentially events night after night after night, all that organization, coordination, and then also the athletic piece. So it is a incredible industry to be a part of, and smart of you to leave a door open while pursuing something that you're passionate about today. But starting out in news wasn't easy. I mean, you said you had to get up at 2:30 in the morning. So what is that like, getting up at that time of day? Like, first of all, and then how do you structure your life around those early mornings? How do you stay motivated when you're doing something that most other people are sleeping through?
Definitely. I think, well, so for your first question, it was tough because there were days where I was going in at 4 a.m. or so, 4, maybe 5 a.m. because I was part-time. So I'd be going in then, and then I would actually, this was still during my final semester of college. So I had the one grad school class and the one undergrad class. So I would still be going to class. So some days I would then go to class for like an hour and a half and then go to softball practice after that. So it was a lot, but I knew at that time that, hey, this is something that I know can help benefit me because these opportunities don't come about often because I just had a feeling that I was like, if I don't take this at the time, and they were more than willing to work with me and my schedule when we had softball games, when we were out of town, knowing that I was going to graduate that spring. So that was tough. And then just going through that, you know, balancing everything and waking up so early, it wasn't easy. I mean, I remember when we'd go on the road for games for weekends that I could sleep in. I was so excited that I got to sleep in because I was up, you know, at 3:30, 4 o'clock some days, most days, going into work before I would go to class and practice. But then after I graduated, you know, my hours shifted sometimes. The last couple of months before I actually transitioned into sports, I was going in more so often at like 2 a.m. And that was really hard because I was taking classes during the summer too. So my classes wouldn't get over till sometimes 7, 7:30, even 8 o'clock. Then to have to come home, try and go to bed as fast as I could to turn around and be up at 1 a.m. to go in from 2 to 8 or 9 a.m. depending on the day. So it was tough, but I felt like I just had to keep pushing through and that my time would come in sports. And that's always what I've been very passionate about. I knew that's what I've always wanted to do, but I figured let me at least give news a try as well, because maybe that is something that I am interested in. And I knew rather quickly that it wasn't, but I had learned so much from being in the newsroom that then like later prepared me for sports. So in the long run, you know, it's worked out, but nothing's easy. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
Well, a lot of what you said there was short-term pain for long-term gain. So understanding like, okay, I'm probably only gonna have to do this for this long. And so setting that time frame in your mind could make it a teeny bit easier to motivate yourself to keep waking up at those crazy hours, like getting limited sleep. Having that fundamental of curiosity, right? Exploring at the same time you're making like major explorations in your career by doing a master's, uncertain of whether or not you were going to work in that field. You were trying out news, uncertain if you were going to work in that field, like using both of those as a gateway, pursuant to your goals to work in sports. So for those of us who have like multiple balls that we're juggling in the air, you know, if you realize that you're doing that, you have that crazy effort for a reason, for a purpose, can make it slightly easier to like really ratchet up how much work you have to put in during a certain period of time.
Yeah, definitely. Because in that time too, while all that was going on, I was also waitressing, bartending part-time. So I did that a few days a week too, which they were flexible with me. So I could pick my schedule. I wasn't going 5 days a week. There's no way I could do that after I had graduated from college. But I was also in the process of building my reel for sports. So I was going to things with the sports team. I would tag along when I could. And most sporting events are at night. So there would be days where I was at a game until 10 or 11 o'clock and then turning around and waking up early again. But as you said, I wasn't, you know, I was trying out things that I wasn't unsure about, but still trying to put my focus towards something I knew I was passionate about. And then if things hadn't worked out the way that they did, then I could try and see, okay, I have a reel, where can I go from here? But it was tough because I was juggling a lot of things and obviously some that I was more passionate about than others too.
Where do you think that hustle comes from? Is that innate in who you are? Is that something that you've worked to grow over time?
I think just who I am, because always being an athlete, playing sports in college, growing up playing sports, like, you know, I wasn't always the best one on the team. I wasn't always one of the top hitters or the, you know, the best fielders or anything like that. Like, I felt like I always had to work hard to be better, whereas some people just came more naturally too. But I felt like that was never the case for me as a college athlete, as an athlete growing up. So I think it's just kind of always been within me that I've learned that nothing is going to come easy.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you do when your confidence wavers? Or I guess I should start with, how important is confidence in yourself to achieve the success that you had? And what do you do when your confidence wavers? What happens when you're not on your A game? How do you build yourself back up again?
That's a great question. I think it's definitely grown over time, my confidence. If you would have asked me, you know, five years ago when I first started, where my confidence level is at to where it's at today is, you know, night and day. And it's taken a lot of time. I think one of the biggest things that when I feel like I'm, you know, wavering or just, you know, not feeling my best is always taking 3 deep breaths. That's been something that's been, you know, a lot of people have told me like, hey, try this. And that's one thing that has resonated with me, to try taking those couple deep breaths and just to try and just clear my mind and not think about outside distractions. Cause I think it's really easy to think about a million different things all the time, you know, in this industry, and I'm sure in plenty other of businesses, to think about a million things at once, instead of just focusing on, okay, what's my task at hand at this moment. But yeah, confidence, it's kind of crazy because I don't know if you knew this, but one of my first ever stories at Channel 4 before I was actually hired on air was when you were named general manager of the Reno Aces. That was one of my first ever on air opportunities to do something on the web. So it's kind of crazy to think back to that moment. And I was just so excited that, hey, I'm getting this opportunity. And, you know, I was so nervous. I didn't know anything really in that moment, but just crazy to think now how many years later where we're at.
Yeah. What have been some of the highlights so far covering sports in Northern Nevada?
Man, there's so many. Wow. So many highlights. I think when you look at, you know, one of the first few years in my career was when Nevada made a run to the Sweet 16. And, you know, I wish I could, not that I could go back in time, but if I was where I'm at now in my career, how much more I would have appreciated that, because that stuff doesn't happen often, and how special that group was, and to see that and to witness that. That was one of them. The celebrity golf tournament is always a big one. Being able to interview Steph Curry on the green right after he won this past year, that's been big. Man, there's just so many. I feel like even just the stories that I've been able to tell this past year, sharing the story of a local family whose lives were really touched by the Vegas Golden Knights after a terrible tragedy had hit their family, and how they were able to meet a player after the game. I mean, I felt like that story really was just touching, especially because I'm from Las Vegas. And, you know, I was able to be down in Vegas when the Golden Knights raised the Stanley Cup banner that this past year. I was able to be there to cover that and cover the Raiders' first home game at Allegiant Stadium ever. I was there to witness that. So, you know, those are a couple things down there that certainly stick out. But I feel like there's so many I'm forgetting too.
Oh, that was an amazing highlight reel. I love that. That was so good. How do you prepare for those moments? Because as someone who's covering live sports and events, you're getting the information that you need in order to do a great interview, like in the moment. So how do you prepare so quickly to have the microphone, introduce the person you're interviewing, ask questions that are relevant to what just happened when it literally just happened? How does that work?
Yeah, it's tough because you don't have a lot of time in that type of situation, but the research beforehand is key. That's the biggest thing, is doing the research beforehand and doing it outside of work, doing it at home, doing it, you know, when you necessarily maybe don't want to be spending time doing it. That's the biggest thing, is doing that research and having that background knowledge. And, you know, I think when I first started, I'd be frustrated because I wouldn't know certain things that, you know, my coworkers at the time had known because they had worked in the market for so long. You know, my former sports director, Brian Smudio, my former colleague, Julian Delgadio, you know, people when I first started, they had been here, they had known stuff that I didn't know. And I'm thinking, man, I want to be able to get to that point someday. Whereas now, you know, it makes it so much easier when I'm going out and covering games, you know, whether it's basketball, you know, sports at the university, whether it's the Reno Aces, because I've been around the team now for so long, and, you know, just little things that you remember the players. And it takes time, though. It's not easy by any stretch, but it's taken a lot of time. And I think just growing as a person and in the industry and knowing the market too, that's also helped.
Yeah. Well, having the patience with yourself, no matter how much you cram, it mm-hmm. takes a certain amount of experience to get comfortable, to have that mental Rolodex of the experiences that you've had, like with these people, with these situations, in order to get it to stick. So I think those are, you know, really key pieces that you laid out in that answer, is remembering to have that patience and grace with yourself. I think it's the same with starting any job. When you might have a set of experiences that got you hired, but they might not all apply to your new role in your new city with your new organization or your new team. And that can be a big slice of humble pie when you start out and you have a huge knowledge gap, and you're working as quickly as you can to build that up. So I'm sure for you, your capacity to spend time learning and putting in that effort, like outside of those work hours and at odd hours, probably paid dividends.
Yeah, it definitely has. And I mean, there's still things that I forget now that I'm like, I go back and I think, oh man, I should have asked this person this, or I should have done this, or I could have done this, because nobody's perfect for, you know, but you know, you can only remember so much. There's so much out there. And I feel like when you're covering so much different stuff too, that it can be challenging, but the hours that you put in, I guess when people aren't watching necessarily, I think if I'm sideline reporting for a football or for a basketball game, I spend hours prepping and really getting to know the other team, because you don't necessarily know when you're going to need that information. And that's the tough part, is I could create so many different storylines, whether it's for Nevada, the teams that I cover quite regularly, and whoever their opponent is, but you just never know. But it all helps, I guess, in the end, because I feel like there have been times where I'm doing this research and doing this prep that maybe it doesn't come in handy now, but maybe months down the road it will, and it just better helps understand more about what you're covering.
What does it feel like if you make a mistake and it's public, right? Like we can internalize and ruminate on our mistakes to no end, even when they're not recorded or televised. So what does it feel like if you do make a mistake, like how do you recover for that? Or if you feel like you have a missed opportunity and you can't go back, like what are your tactics for getting over those moments?
Totally. When I first started, I felt so defeated. Like I'm never going to get another opportunity. I'm never going to get another chance. And I would definitely beat myself up on it. And sometimes, you know, I still do depending on the situation. But some things are out of your control too, when, you know, if the right video doesn't play or you didn't get cued the right way or some, you know, other things that you can't necessarily control. But the biggest thing that I've really taken away probably within the past year or two is just knowing that, hey, there'll be another chance. There'll be another opportunity. And that's definitely tough though, in the moment to know, like, you know, wow, I just messed up, or this video didn't play because I, whatever happened, you know, certain things that aren't necessarily in your control, but just remembering that there is another chance and you'll have another opportunity to redeem yourself, even though that's easier said than done, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm happy you laid that reminder. And it's not the first time that I've heard that in the last month or so. I love that song by Eminem, Lose Yourself. And it's like, you've only got one shot. You know, like I listen to it when I'm working out or on my runs, and it's super inspiring. And I have like really changed the way that I hear that message. Like you have one shot in that moment to do that one thing, but it doesn't mean that it's one shot forever, right? Like you have that one moment with Steph Curry when he won the golf tournament to do your best interview possible, but that's not your one shot to ever do an interview, right? It like carries forward. So having that perspective to bring your A game to every opportunity, but also knowing like, okay, if this wasn't an A++ this time, like I will have another shot in the future and I'm going to bring whatever I learned from this experience into the next.
Exactly. Exactly. And even in like that instance, specifically interviewing Steph Curry following and winning at the golf tournament, the celebrity golf tournament, it was so hectic. It was so chaotic of a scene and of a situation. And I had really never been in anything that chaotic, because typically we interview players, you know, at the podium or in the locker room afterwards, like never anything on the field per se in that type of situation that wasn't for a broadcast interview or something like that. So in that moment, you know, I just kept telling myself, hey, I'm about to do something that I've never done, but all I can do is do my best and not let my nerves get to me, because it was such a big moment. Just the way it ended, how Steph Curry won the tournament. So it was pretty nuts, but something, yeah, I've definitely learned from. At the same time, you know, all you can do is keep learning, and how can you get better next time? So,
right. Well, speaking of learning, can you talk about a hurdle specifically that you've had to overcome in your career? How did you do it? And how do you carry that, that message forward, into your next experience?
One of the biggest hurdles is overcoming the fear of messing up or not nailing my stand up on the first take when I'm recording stuff. I think that's, you know, that's always been something that's been more challenging for me, just mentally knowing that, hey, this isn't live. So if I mess up, I can keep retaping something, you know, versus if it's live, you get one shot at doing it. That's been something that totally took me a while to overcome. And we're only human, you know, I don't nail them on the first try, every try, even now. Nobody's perfect. I don't think anybody does in the business, quite honestly. But that was always something that really took me a long time. And then just overthinking and overanalyzing, did I mess up? Did I say this weird? Is this okay? Was I smiling enough? All the little things in the situation, but that's definitely been something that was challenging. And I think just with time though, it's obviously became easier. I think it's just, you know, reps, repetition is what's helped the most.
Yeah, well, a lot of people let the fear of messing up let them even start, right? Or begin. So, what advice do you have for people who can't make the leap? Like they're stutter stepping for the first step, right? They have this goal or this thing that they want to do, but they're so afraid to not do it perfectly the first time that they never even try.
Say the biggest thing is just to keep pushing forward and to tell yourself that you can do it. That, yeah, if it takes time, that's okay, because if you trust yourself and you trust the process, then things will eventually work out. It might take more time for you than others and vice versa, but that doesn't, define who you are or how you are as a person or, as somebody in this industry. I think everybody learns differently. Everybody does with anything, and that's in any industry, and everyone's so different. But just to not let that fear get to you to the point where then you feel like I can't, because nobody, I feel like, should do that if they're trying to pursue this type of industry. It's not easy. It's not easy. You don't just show up on TV and comes to you naturally.
It's a new year, and I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Leadership is Female podcast, Staffy. That's Staffi, and they can be found at getstaffy.com. We are all busy professionals, and we have a lot on our plate, and GetStaffy is here to help. They are a virtual assistant company. They're virtual assistants, legal assistants, receptionists, intake client specialists, sales representatives, and paralegals are thoroughly trained and effectively can manage multiple tasks, from answering customer inquiries to booking your family activities and managing your calendar and appointments. Plus, you get to save costs with our easy subscription-based service. That's getstaffy.com, or reach out to me at Emily Jansen on Instagram, and I will connect you directly to their people. They are a phenomenal company, and we've got an interview with their CEO on the podcast. If you need help, if your company needs help, if you need a virtual assistant that can help save costs and get more done, GetStaffy is the way to do it. GetStaffy.com and mention Leadership is Female, or let me know, and I will put you in touch. Let's go. Do you need a keynote speaker for your next conference, ERG meeting, event, or group? I'm here, raising my hand. I help leaders grow their confidence so that they can lead more intentional, goal-directed, fulfilled, and happy lives. We are conditioned from our childhood to stay small. Don't be conceited. Run in the middle of the pack, because if we speak out too much or shine too brightly, we will offend other people. This could not be more wrong. When you are your best, most confident leader, you give others permission to shine too. So, how do we get there? How do we increase our confidence? I love sharing my best practices and proven methods to help leaders grow into who they are meant to be, your most confident, authentic self, ready to take on your next biggest challenge in the office and in your personal life. Get in touch at emilyjansen.com. I don't know about you, but I love learning more about myself. If there's a quiz out there to help me better understand who I am, I'll take it. If there's a journal prompt, I'm using it. But how about a business that helps female leaders communicate effectively while inspiring confidence and trust in those you want to impact? Sign me up. Breakthrough Brands is unlocking clarity for women leading progress. They build leadership brands for women to discover what inspires them, define what drives them, and unlock how to share their brands with others. Do you want to gain clarity on your personal brand? Shoot me a note at leadershipisfemale@gmail.com or on Instagram, and we will introduce you to the women who will help you unlock your leadership brand. That's breakthroughbrands.com. If you are listening to this podcast, I know you are a busy professional. We can agree we are always looking for products that are convenient and make life easier. Mobot water bottles are one of these products. It's a water bottle and a foam roller in one. I use the water bottle at the gym, staying hydrated in boot camp, and then flipping the bottle on its side at the end of class to quickly foam roll my legs. It helps with recovery and gets me back to work faster. Get yours at mobot.com and use the code LEADERSHIPISFEMALE, all one word, to get 15% off. support Lonnie Cooper, the female founder of this product, and support yourself. This is a must-have wellness water bottle.
I guess.
Yeah, and I was just reminded this week of, there's this great tweet from HBO several years ago where they had sent out an email like with nothing in it. And they tweeted like, sorry. And yes, it was an intern. We're working with them to get through this difficult time or something like that. And it started this chain reaction of professionals responding to the tweet with their biggest mess up at work. And it opened up this like really amazing conversation of like, hey, we all mess up. And I think if you share that you're not perfect all the time and that you do make mistakes, like it can help soften the blow and give other people permission to try too. So I love that. Like even thinking of it in through your lens, like being recorded and knowing that, all right, I've got a couple of takes to get this done, or I have to nail it live. Or if I don't nail it live, you know, I'll at least get enough words out that it'll be good enough, right? Like sometimes you just have to be happy with good enough when you don't get a second chance, and then use that experience to help you do better the next time. And, you know, if we're too obsessed with ego and too obsessed with ourselves, you blow it up into a bigger deal than it needs to be. There's lots of other people, as you know, Shannon, reporting at the same time as you in their games, in their cities, like literally all around the globe. And if you kind of widen that lens a little bit, it makes it a little bit easier to just get started. And I did want to ask you your thoughts on women in broadcasting, specifically women in sports broadcasting, and the leaps that you've seen made since you started just, you know, I don't know, 6 years ago.
Yeah. 100% though, with everything that you said, like that's so true. And, you know, women, I feel like have come a long way just in the time that I've started. I think one of the biggest things too is even just the national exposure that college women's sports are getting, whether it's from women's basketball to softball to the Women's College World Series, gymnastics. I think, you know, that's definitely expanded over the years, and just to see more women in sports, whether it's, you know, for a football pregame, postgame show, for baseball pregame, postgame shows, you know, just various different stuff. I think it's important because, you know, one of the most challenging things obviously is not always, or at least for me, is, you know, women haven't necessarily played tackle football. That's not a thing growing up. Whereas you could play soccer, softball, things like that. So I think that could be, you know, challenging for not only women to really understand and know what they're talking about, but you can spend time to know and understand what you're talking about and understand the game. And that's not always been perceived, you know, from other people that, hey, why is this girl talking about football? What does she know about football? When that's not necessarily the case. I feel like it's become more common for women to be doing, you know, pre and post game shows, various different things, sideline reporting and all that, that, you know, it should be normalized, and it is. It's becoming more and more of a normal thing that we're seeing more and more women, that it takes effort and it takes, you know, knowledge, and it's not going to come easy. Obviously, for some women, I'm sure it comes more easier than others, but I think if you're driven and you're dedicated enough to want to learn, that you will learn.
Yeah, I think it's particularly important to see women in broadcasting and in reporting roles in sports, because that is the largest visibility of the widest audience that begins to normalize women in sports. So the more you see a woman on the field or associated with the game, the more your mind can begin to change that women do occupy roles all around and inside of sports. So when you see a female leader in the front office, or you get a call from a female selling you season tickets, it doesn't seem strange. Like it seems commonplace. And I do think that you guys are on the front line of that, because you're we're all tuning into the game and, you know, the positions that we're seeing occupied, like talking about the game. Like for me, when I thought I had to be a physical therapist to work in sports because I saw women run out to tend to players on the field, like that's how I saw myself in a role. That's not what I wanted to do, but that's how I saw you could like get into the game. Well, today, if we're viewing this sport and seeing female broadcasters, you know, we're seeing women like working in broadcasting, doing these interviews, it's another outlet to demonstrate women's contributions to the sports industry.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing, like you said, of your example of, I thought I had to be a physical therapist just to work in sports. And, you know, that's not necessarily the case anymore. And I think, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that if things were like that still, I don't know. It's just weird, I think, because so many women not only play sports, but really enjoy sports as well.
What do you think is the future for news, for broadcasting? Like, how are we going to be consuming our media in the future? And how are you adapting to this changing landscape?
That's a great question. A very loaded question, I think, because I think nobody truly knows yet exactly what it's going to look like. I think with obviously the way how digital, social media, YouTube, all of that has changed over the last several years, even from when I had first started, I've noticed how much it's changed and how it was all about TV. But now, you know, social media, YouTube, all of that is equally as important because of this changing landscape. So it's hard to say, you know, I don't necessarily know exactly what the future is going to look like. I think one example that's really interesting is how one of the past NFL playoff games was only streamed on Peacock. You know, I think that's the first time that we've ever seen that. I mean, imagine if one of the World Series games was only streamed on like a Fox streaming app or something. I just think it's just crazy to see how we're in this transition, but there's no real roadmap per se, at least that I know of. You know, maybe higher ups in companies, they've obviously have thought about it and what that's going to look like, but it's tough to see, you know, to think exactly of what does this look like moving forward. Cause I thought it was pretty crazy how there was a game that was only streamed on Peacock. That's nuts. Just to think where it was when I first started 5 years ago, I could have never imagined that that was going to be a thing.
Yeah, the NFL has been carved up and distributed in all sorts of interesting ways that you don't necessarily know in our household, like which, how to consume the football game. And we were one of, I don't know how many million people who created an account on Peacock to watch that football game.
Right.
And opened up an account on a street. We have almost every streaming service. We didn't have that one. And now we are subscribers. So their marketing plan worked. However, you know, as a fan, it's like, it's becoming complicated to consume your favorite sports. I think the other 2 weeks ago, we wanted to watch the Golden Knights game, versus the Bruins, and it was blacked out. And I'm like, we live in Nevada. I don't understand. You know, I don't live in Las Vegas, but like, I can't get this game. So it is wild what is happening now in that landscape. And, it's tricky to get the content that you want in long form, right? Like, I don't want to just necessarily watch the highlights, after the game. I want to tune in for the full thing. And when it's inaccessible, it's challenging. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Yeah. And it's crazy too, because now Nevada Sports Network on Fubo TV. So it's crazy to see how that's changing and how we're on a streaming site, because that's something I would have never imagined 5 years ago. And then, you know, being able to still get local channels over the air, I think that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily know about or realize that, hey, you know, and I've heard there's even TVs that you can buy now that have, you know, those antennas included, which is just crazy to think that just how it's all changing, how the landscape of everything is changing, is wild.
Yeah. Are you showing up any differently today than you did when you started your career?
Probably. Just because now I am more confident with what I'm doing because it's not, you know, my first year in the business now. I think just over time, you gain that knowledge of, you've seen, you've gone through, you've watched people who have been in your shoes, and, you know, to understand the landscape. I think, you know, with us, a lot of things work in seasons because we have football season in the fall, basketball season in the winter, and then baseball season in the spring, summer, event season is in the summer as well. So being able to really go through that my first year and kind of then get a grasp of, okay, this is what this kind of looks like in a sense, but obviously it is still ever changing and we've done so much more now at NSN versus when I first started. So obviously then adapting to that, but I think so just because where I'm at now and just how I've grown in the industry.
Well, and operating your personal Instagram and, you know, elevating your personal profile, beyond, just your specific association with NSN and the TV station. How important is it to carve out your own identity in your career?
It's really important. I think something I probably don't do enough, maybe just to, you know, remind yourself of that. It's not easy to keep putting yourself out there, or, you know, just to continue to remember, you know, remind yourself of that and have your own identity too, and to be your own person as you're representing somebody else. Like, that's so important, I think, because I think that's what makes NSN so unique and so different, is that all of us have such different personalities and we all bring something so different to the table. And that's important for us to be successful and to be a team. And because we do have such a unique opportunity with such a big sports department, more than most local TV stations, you know, it's important for everyone's voice to be heard. And, you know, no idea is a bad idea. And that's so important because we've done so much different stuff with just various little ideas that have sprung in to something more.
Yeah. So when you're not working, you've certainly described a hustle life. So when you do have some time off, what are you doing?
When I'm not working, what am I doing? Well, I feel like there's a lot of different things. Working out, that's always something that's important. In the summer, going outside, being outdoors, going to Tahoe, going to the lakes, going hiking, golfing. I feel like I'm more of a summer person versus a winter person. I don't really ski or snowboard, but I do snowshoe. So I enjoy going to snowshoe in the winter. So anything really outdoors, spending time with friends, family. Yeah, I feel like downtime during, you know, the fall and winter months, football, basketball seasons isn't as easy to come by as it is during, you know, the spring and summer months, just due to the nature of everything. But I think it's important though to make time for yourself and to have that balance, or to at least try, because, you know, you can't be consumed. It's easy to be consumed with work all the time because there's always something that's going on in sports. Like, there's always stuff going on, whether it's on your days off or not. It can be easy to be consumed by it all.
All right, let's get into the final four questions. What is your best piece of advice for women to apply today?
My best piece of advice for women is just to keep grinding, really, like, keep grinding, because maybe you don't necessarily want to be doing something at the time, like working in a different department or doing something else that you don't necessarily think you want to be doing. But, you know, that can help land your foot in the door for something that you really do want to do. So that's my biggest thing, is just to really, to never say no to an opportunity. Don't say no, because you never know when that opportunity could come about again. I think it's very rare. You know, it depends obviously where you're starting out and what market you're starting out, and, you know, to just land a job on air right away. I think obviously it depends, you know, on the situation and stuff, but it's not easy. So I think any opportunity that you can get to go and take it is really important.
Where are you traveling to next?
For work or for fun?
Let's do both.
Okay.
Talk to me that you do stuff for fun, Shannon.
Well, for work, I am traveling to the Super Bowl next month in Las Vegas. So I'm very excited for that. It's a bucket list item for me to cover a Super Bowl. So I'm so excited and super fortunate to be able to have an opportunity to go to Las Vegas and to cover the Super Bowl in my hometown. So I'm really excited and really looking forward to that. And for fun, my next trip won't be until April. So still a little ways away, but it'll also be back in Las Vegas for my sister's wedding.
Love that. Okay. What is your pump up song? You're getting ready to go on air.
Oh man.
Before the Super Bowl. What are you listening to?
Okay. Well, this one was kind of a tough one for me, but I think I'm going to go back to my walk-up song in college when I played softball. My song by Johnny Cash, God's Gonna Cut You Down. I don't know what it is about it, but that was my walk-up song. So that's the one. That's the one I'm going with.
And then what is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote. Well, this one's kind of hard because I have two favorite quotes. So I'm going to share both then, if you don't mind. But my first one is, it's so simple. Just dream big. It's free. And I feel like that really resonates with me. My mom bought me a plaque a while ago, and I have it on my nightstand just as a reminder, because, you know, nobody can tell you that you can't do something. And I've had people before who have told me that I can't do what I'm doing now, which, you know, was hard. And one of them was in college, one of my advisors in college, when I told her what I wanted to do. And she kind of looked at me like, what do you mean? That's what you want to do? Like, that's not going to happen. And, you know, not only is that motivated, was that a motivating factor, but that was one that definitely resonated with me. So dream big, it's free. And then another one, which you're very familiar with, Emily, but you're saying of be so good that they won't forget you. That one has really stuck with me over the last couple of years, because I feel like it's important how you go about everything and, you know, how you're perceived and how you leave an impression on others, because people remember who you are. And, you know, I think one example of that, that recently I came in contact with was when I helped host the Bobby Dolan dinner, and I was interviewing Hunter Pence and the committee and the head baseball coach at Nevada, Jake McKinley, they thought of me to do the interview, that, you know, they could have picked somebody else and they asked me to. And I think that stuck with me because I've resonated with somebody that they felt like I was the person that they wanted to ask to help host the dinner this year. And that meant the world to me. And I was so honored to be a part of something that was, that's so important to the Nevada baseball community. And so that's my other quote that has stuck with me.
I love that. And I love that for you, the Nevada baseball dinner. I saw that picture on Instagram, and that's fantastic. Well, you've worked very hard and continue to work hard to carve out a space for yourself in this industry. So where can we follow along with your journey?
Yeah, we can follow, you can follow me on Instagram or on Twitter at @ShannonKelly_TV. On LinkedIn as well at @ShannonKelly_TV. So I'm on all of the platforms.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and sharing your story and so many moments of your leadership and your growth with us that I know will inspire so many of our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. No, thank you so much for having me on. And you've always been an inspiration to me in the business, being a female working in sports. So I've always looked up to you. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Time is your most precious resource, and it means the world that you spent it with us. Please help us reach more people who need to hear these interviews by hitting the subscribe button and the 5-star rating on your iPhone. Do you know someone who could benefit from this interview? Please share it. Take a screenshot and post to your Instagram stories, copy the link and share on LinkedIn, or text that link to your colleague. The Leadership is Female podcast exists to showcase female leadership in sports and entertainment and give you the tips to level up. We will extend a hand back to lead you forward. Extend the same hand by sharing this with someone who needs to hear it. One last thing. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Leadership is Female. Now, take this lesson and run. Let's go.